Let's take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 in our series on family survival, what parents must do. Proverbs chapter 22, and look at verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 22, 5 and 6, what parents must do. All the parents, raise your hand. All the grandparents, raise your hand. All the non-parents, raise your hand. Amen. Anybody in any other category? What parents must do? Proverbs 22, 5 and 6. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1 to 4. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 20 and 21. Colossians 3, 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that as we review the basics of what parents are to do according to your word, God, strengthen our minds and our hearts and our commitment to do your will in our homes. Lord, in a day when our homes are being torn apart by so many things in our society, we indeed have a moral catastrophe in our homes. God, I pray that you'll cause parents who love the Lord to return to the simplicity of the Word of God and to practice every day in their home what God says, no matter what the pressures are in society and the world about us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. There are two things we want to share with you tonight from this simple verse about what parents must do. We are not going to get into the problem of discipline tonight. In our next message, the subject is abuse or discipline. And we're going to deal with the difference. We live in a very hostile society, a very abusive society. We are going to talk about that in our next message. Tonight is a simple point: what, according to the Bible, are parents supposed to do? And there are all kinds of things that could be added in this discussion. I'm simply looking at the simplicity of one proverb, Proverbs 22, verse 6. And two things we want to deal with. One is the basic responsibility of all parents, which is described in the opening phrase, train up a child in the way he should go. That is the basic responsibility of all parents. And secondly, we're going to look at the basic reason for such parental guidance, which is expressed in the last phrase when it says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. So let's take a look at the basic responsibility of all parents. Train up a child in the way he should go. Just to give us an idea of the meaning of that, let me read out of several translations that phrase. For instance, in the Jewish Tanakh, which is an Old Testament for you who have a Protestant Bible, the Jewish Tanakh says of that verse, train a lad in the way he ought to go. He will not swerve from it, even in old age. Now, it's obvious by the way they translated, they've already interpreted it. They told you about the child. He's just a lad. They told you what they think it means. The way he should go is the way he ought to go. They told you the meaning of the last phrase when they said he will not swerve from it, even in old age. In the New International Version, it says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not turn from it. In the New American Standard, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The Living Bible, trying to help us with a paraphrase, says, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he's older, he will remain upon it. Interesting, in the Good News Bible, which is a Roman Catholic edition, it says, teach a child how he should live, and he will remember it all his life. What does it mean to train up a child in the way he should go? And I want you to kind of capture this tonight by looking at four words. They all begin with D. What does it mean to train up a child in the way he should go? Number one is dedication. Dedication. The very word to train is used of dedication in the Bible. Let me give you some examples. It's used of dedicating the house of God, or the house of the Lord, the temple. It's used in Ezra chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. It's used in 1 Kings 8, verse 63, as Solomon dedicated the house of the Lord. It was a celebration, but it was also a commitment, a dedication of the house to be used by God. It's also used of the dedication of the house of David in Psalm 30, verse 1. It's also used of dedication of the wall of Jerusalem in the time of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 12, verse 27. This simple word, train, it means to dedicate. It's also used of the altar that was in the temple area where the sacrifices were made. The altar was dedicated. Numbers chapter 7, verse 10 and 11, verse 84, verse 88. It's even used in pagan circles. The image of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, 2 to 3 was dedicated. There was a celebration and a dedication of that monument to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It's used of dedicating a new house. Have you built a new home? Have you purchased a new home? Back in Jewish law and practice, they would dedicate their home to God. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, just dedicating your house. It's dedicating things as well as people. Dedication is what it means. We do baby dedications here in our church, and sometimes people say, well, what are you doing for the baby? And I guess nothing except ensuring that the parents are committed to training the baby. So in that sense, we bless the baby. But by a baby dedication, we do not mean anything for the spiritual state of that child. We dedicate the parents more than the child. The parents to bring the child up the way the Bible says. A dedication is important. Let's think about it in the Christian life. Often you'll hear Christians say, I've dedicated my life to the Lord. What do you mean? Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm asking a very simple question tonight of all parents. Have you dedicated yourself and your children to the Lord? Now, you don't need a ceremony publicly to do this. You can do it in your own home, in your own life, and your own heart. And I suggest you do it immediately. Maybe you want to get on your knees before God and dedicate your life and dedicate your children to the Lord. It's a very important word. In Romans 12:1, I read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The first 11 chapters of Romans were on the mercies of God, His salvation. It says, on the basis of that, I beseech you, I beg you, I urge you that you present. The word's also used to dedicate, to yield, to present, to give your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Understand that when you dedicate something, it's for the service of the Lord. Whether it's a house, whether it's an altar, whether it's a wall, whether it's a temple, or whether it's a child. You are dedicating that person for the service of the Lord. Are parents really training their children if they don't dedicate their children to the Lord to be used by God? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. There's a wonderful story in the Old Testament about a woman who was barren and prayed that God would give her a son. And she in turn dedicated that child to the Lord. Her name was Hannah. The child's name was Samuel the prophet. And God really answered this woman's prayer, and she had a child. Verse 27 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, He shall be lent or granted, even dedicated to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. This child was given to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord. And God used this child in a wonderful way. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel served the Lord before Eli, who was the high priest. You keep reading this, it's a beautiful thing. As the Lord is trying to communicate his message to Samuel, and Samuel learns from Eli that he should say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." But look down at verse 19. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established or confirmed or dedicated as a prophet to the Lord. It's a wonderful story. This woman dedicated her child, gave the child back to the service of the Lord. Parents, there's a sense in which you give your child up. As important and as precious as is the possession of your child, you dedicate the child to the Lord for the Lord to use in whatever way He sees fit. And you dedicate your own life to the Lord to train that child in the way of God. And I simply ask that question, have you dedicated yourself and your children to the Lord? Have you ever done that? May God help you to do it. The second word that begins with a D when we talk about train up a child is the word discipline. Discipline. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The very word in Proverbs 22:6 that says train up a child is used in Genesis 14:14 of the servants in Abraham's home who were trained servants in how to use weapons of war. There was a battle, and Lot and his family were taken, and Abraham pursued the kings, and he used the trained servants in his household. And it's the same word in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. According to the Bible, that involves discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now watch this carefully. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous or painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. There is a training process that God uses when He disciplines our lives, brings chastening into our lives to make us more productive and more fruitful. When you train up a child in the way he should go, it involves dedication, yes, but it involves discipline as well. It is not simply the issue of to spank or not to spank. The very word for child in Greek, pais or paideia, is referring to a disciplined one. That word is used of people who went to the philosophical schools in ancient Greece and were learning from teachers. And all of a sudden they were called paideion because they were disciplined ones. They were asked to meet certain standards. In the Stoic field of philosophy, the standards were so severe that many people dropped out. They couldn't take the discipline. But if you could get through the process, you could become a paideion, a trained one, a disciplined one. Discipline is absolutely essential to effective Christian living. And parents are to discipline their child, not simply telling them what they can't do, but giving them the idea that that discipline and that submission to the will of God is going to make them more productive in their life. I say to all parents, it is difficult to discipline properly if you yourself are not disciplined. It's so hard to tell your kids to be submissive to God, to submit to whatever God wants in your life, if you yourself are not submissive to the Lord. Parents need to be dedicated as well as their children. And parents need to be disciplined constantly by the Lord as well as their children. Children need to grow up in a home where discipline is a lifestyle, an accepted practice. It's something that is a good and not a negative. It isn't looked at as punishment, it's looked at as blessing. And I want to thank God for the discipline that I've received from my own parents. My father exercised very heavy discipline. Now, he happened to believe one of the major ingredients of it was spanking. This is long before the word child abuse came into vogue. If only I had had that word, I could have used it on him. Dad, you're abusive. But he always hit me in the divinely ordained spot, which is the rear end, in case you wondered. And boy, did he spank. I remember only once ever kind of throwing a little tantrum. Only once. I never did it again. In our home, I mean, you got disciplined. And I look back on it and I say, man, he was really tough. But I loved that man. And soon I learned that his discipline changed. I learned that he wanted a boy that would submit to the will of God. He knew something about me that needed changing and still does. We never outgrow our need of discipline. If you want to train your children in the way of the Lord, then it is not an option or a creative alternative. Discipline is a fundamental fact of having a good family. And it isn't, as I said, simply the spanking issue. It's the whole issue of what it is to be submissive to God and understanding that all things that happen in our lives that we think are negative are being worked by the hand of our sovereign God for our good and His glory. And we need to be submissive to the Lord. Back to Proverbs 22. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child. The word child is the Hebrew word na'ar, which is used 255 times. It's a big word. And I want to give you the third word that begins with D that's a part of training. Dedication, discipline, and development. Development. The child needs to be trained. The child is moving from child to adult. And there's a process. It's interesting, the same word, just for the record, is used of a young man, not simply a little child. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, please. Just go back. Proverbs chapter 1. And I'd like you to see how the word child in Proverbs 22:6 is translated in other passages. Again, it's used 255 times. And it's used not just of small children, but of young people. The development issue is there. Proverbs 1, verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man. That's the same word child in Proverbs 22:6. Knowledge and discretion. It isn't simply spanking them or telling them don't touch this or don't go out in the street or whatever. They may be older now and it's a matter of wisdom and knowledge and discretion to know the way of the Lord. There is development of the child as they grow and they get older. Now look at chapter 7, please, verse 7. Here's an example of a young man who's being counseled by his parents to watch out for sexual immorality and people who can seduce him and the temptations of life. We're not talking about a little child here. We're talking about a young man. And it says in verse 6, at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth. Same word in Proverbs 22:6. A young man, same word. Devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, he took the path to her house and he falls into sin. Development involves protection as well. Protecting the child to understand that the way of the Lord will keep them from evil and that which will destroy and hurt their life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, please, and look at verse 11. Proverbs 20, verse 11. What does it mean to train up your child, this basic responsibility of all parents? Well, it refers to dedication and a discipline as well as development. I read in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, even a child, again, it's the same word. Is it a young man? It's any process. As long as he's under the care of those parents, this word fits. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. When you talk about development, we're talking about the kind of spiritual development that keeps us away from sinful attitudes and practices and protects our life to live in glorifying the Lord rather than in self. Look at chapter 22, verse 6 again. train up a child in the way he should go. Same word. Verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Same word. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So it could be a small child who needs to be corrected. The word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16 is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and training in righteousness. We need to counsel them in the way of the Lord, that their lives would be developed along the path of what the Lord wants. Look at chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child. Again, it's the same word as Proverbs 22:6. Chapter 29, verse 15. Chapter 29, verse 15. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child, it's the same word, left to himself, brings shame to his mother. It could be a small child. It could be a teenager, a young person. It could be somebody in their 20s. Sometimes the word is used all the way up to age 30, which in Jewish life then became a responsible leader in the community. And yet at age 20, a child was able to be taxed, go to military warfare, and could legitimately marry without consent. There was a lot of different ages that were in Jewish life and practice. We know for sure it's a child under 20. It could very well go clear to 30. And the point is that we all need to be developed by the way in which we should go. Which brings me to the fourth D. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. That involves dedication. It involves discipline. It involves development. And number four, it involves direction. If you ask me, one of the major problems in family life today, it's that parents don't give direction. They kind of handle crises. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If something's wrong, they step in. But not always are they giving direction. What is the way that he should go? There's a lot of arguments. Let me just give you a couple little clarifications from Proverbs. Turn back to chapter 14. Chapter 14. What is the way in which a child should go? The direction that we should give to a child. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. I simply point out to you, whatever this way is, it certainly isn't what you and I think it is. It's what the Lord says it is. Because there is a way that seems right to a man. I might say, you know, son, I believe in giving you direction. I've been a fireman. I believe God wants you to be a fireman. It's a way I think that you should go. That is not the meaning of Proverbs 22:6, but some people think it is. Is it making sure that your son follows your path and does what you do, goes to the same school, goes through the same experiences? Do you live your life in him, and do you impose your expectations upon him or her so that he can't hardly breathe, he feels smothered, he's got to be what you want him to be instead of being what the Lord wants him to be? You know, when I was growing up, and I'm sure many of you could say the same thing, parents wanted their children to have good grades. Is that still in? And it was such a pressure, you know, to have good grades. What was good grades? You know, we used to laugh about it. You know, if you get a D, it means delightful. And you try to tell your folks it meant a good grade. Or F is fine, no problem. You know, you tried to, you know, do something about it. And there was such a pressure to have good grades. And I remember one time hearing a sermon, and it may seem kind of funny today, but I remember it growing up. And the pastor saying, what if you have an F child rather than an A child? Train up a child in the way he should go. What if the full capacity of a child is not what you expect? What if God has equipped them, trained them, uniquely gifted them in a way totally foreign to what you're talking about? I know many people who failed in elementary school and secondary school, who made it in college and graduate school, even with honors. I've seen that happen many times. I've seen people take some courses where they bomb out entirely and take other courses that make A's in because they got a desire for it. They have a heart for it. What if your child is an F child or a C child or a D child and not an A and B? Is it for everybody to say to them, if you just work a little harder, you could do better? What if they're working as hard as they can and that's all they can do? It's no disgrace to fail, friends. We've been programmed to think that way for years by our educational process, but it's no disgrace to fail. If I read my Bible right, it's a sin to do less than your best. The Bible says to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. But if you've done the best you can, why is it a sin? Because I can't achieve what you maybe want me to achieve. This goes for talents and skills and abilities, especially in the sports area. And parents put pressure on their children. I see it in Little League. You talk about people going wacko, check the parents out. You see the poor little kids out there, it's a miracle they survive. Their parents are nuts. They chew the coach up and one side down the other just because their child didn't get into play for the amount of time they think they should be in. And the attitudes of the parents are often expressed in situations like that. Is that what God means? Train up a child in the way he should go? Look at chapter 20 of Proverbs, verse 24. A man's steps are of the Lord. In other words, you don't know, God does. But where you're going, God knows, and you don't. A man's steps are of the Lord. Well, how then can a man understand his own way? The point is, you don't know. So Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man. And here it says, how can a man understand the way? So what does it mean to train up a child in the way he should go? Turn back to Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. And here's a clue from the Lord himself. In Psalm 32, 8, it's a good verse to memorize. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That's the exact same phrase we have in Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Here God says, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. What an admonition. We can be so stubborn. God says, I'll instruct you, I'll teach you in the way that you shall go. Here are three viewpoints used by Christians and in Christian books on Proverbs 22. Three viewpoints. One says that it refers to parental direction. What the parent wants the child to do. Train up a child in the way that you think he should go. I've already hopefully undermined that. I've tried to at least. But I don't believe that view, but there are many Christians who do. They say it's parental direction. You get what you plan for. If you want your child to be an outstanding person in a given field, it's the old message we see on our commercials across our screens. You can be whatever you want to be. Really. No, folks, life isn't like that. There are many people at midlife who experience tremendous crisis simply because all their dreams are never accomplished, never realized. People say, well, you know, if you really want to play NFL football, you can do it, boy, you can do it. I know you only are 85 pounds, but don't worry about it. But, Dad, I'm 36 now. You can do it, son. Come on. I've taken piano lessons for 30 years and I can't play the thing. You could if you wanted to. Really. See, there are a lot of people who believe this view. And I feel so sorry for the family. You sometimes can see the evidence in the kids trying to please their parents. Trying to live up to the expectations of their parents. Parents who maybe love the Lord with all their hearts. And don't realize what they're doing to their kids. It is not parental direction here, but a lot of people believe that. A second view is that it's personal direction. By that, and some of my good friends in this neighborhood believe this, and that is that it's the way the child is designed to go. Now this sounds interesting. Like suppose that God designed a child to be aesthetic and artistic. Then don't try to make that child an accountant. You should train a child in the way that he should go, meaning the way that God's designed him to go. But folks, that kind of teaching isn't found in the Bible. If that's in this text, then this is brand new stuff. God doesn't deal with that. God always deals with the spiritual facts of walking with the Lord. But a lot of people believe that. Just find out. Have your kids go through some testing. You know, if you just have enough testing, you can find out what you're going to do in life. How many of you have taken tests that haven't meant a blooming thing to your life? I've taken a lot of them. Tests. I took an occupational test. And it said that I'd make a good clerk. And I don't know, maybe that's what some of you think I ought to be doing. And I found at different stages of my life, I take different kinds of tests, and it comes out differently. And there's some people that are always analyzing people this way. Some people use temperament analysis. We can just find out what your temperament is, then we can discover what you ought to do. Or what child you are in the family, whether you're second or third or first. I have a theological word for all of this. Want to hear it? Or do you know it already? Baloney! What are you talking about? My good friend Tim LaHaye and I have had a lot of laughter over this. I took his temperament analysis test. Paid him the money, by the way, and he's never returned it. And I took his temperament analysis test, and I never met the man. And I went down to speak at his church, and he picked me up at the airport in his truck. And I got in his truck, and he said, "I know all about you." I never met the guy before, first time in my life. And he started analyzing what I'm all about. Shortly after that, I took his temperament analysis test, and he wrote me a long letter, pages of it. His opening line, I've kept it just as a little remembrance. It said, "David, one thing is for sure, don't ever be the senior pastor in any church. You don't have the temperament for it." He said, "All you're going to do is cause trouble." Some of you are saying, "Well, he had that one right." And we've laughed about it a lot. You know, people try to put you in a category. I think we're all kind of a blend. I don't know what you are. I don't think temperament is the issue. That's kind of like Christian occultism or some sort of a spiritualized astrology. I'm not into that stuff, and neither should you be. Be careful, folks. A lot of kids have been hurt terribly by this kind of thinking. Train up a child in the way that he was designed to go? Is that what God says? Are you kidding? Maybe they're selfish and stubborn and carnal and not walking with God. Is that what you want them to do? Do they have the spiritual discernment to know that? No. And where's the parental responsibility in all of that? Just to say, "Hey, let's give him some tests, and if we find out what he's good at, let's pay for it and let's get him going on it." No, I don't think it's parental direction. I don't think it's personal direction. I think the only answer is that it's divine direction. The way God wants the child to go. And right here we need parents who get on their knees and repent. Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of us have not been teaching our children the way God wants them to go. In Proverbs, you have contrasted the way of the wise and the way of the fool, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Even in the verse preceding Proverbs 22:6 that we read as we began, it says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse." Train a child in the way he should go. Proverbs uses contrasts. And my friends, it is divine direction. It is the way God wants our children to go. Keep asking yourself as a parent, what does God want my child to do? And you will always be on the right track when you are considering what God wants for your child. What does God say in His Word my child should do and be? And that's what I should train my child in. It doesn't happen to be occupation as whether he's a fireman or policeman or anything like that. Certainly God has gifted our children. We want to understand that. But the truth is that God primarily deals with godly lifestyle. Parents, you want to know what our responsibility is? It's to do all that we can because of our parental authority to do all we can to guide our children in the way of the Lord. That they would live for the Lord all the days of their life, no matter what occupation, what skill, what talent they have, that they would always love the Lord with all of their hearts. We read in 2 John, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And parents whose kids are away from God, you know what I mean when I say there's no greater blessing that we could receive than to know that our children have given their hearts to the Lord and are walking in the way of the Lord. No greater grief can be in the heart of a parent than a child who has wandered away from the Lord and no longer living for Him. Well, what's the basic reason for this parental guidance? We looked at the basic responsibility. The reason is stated in verse 6 in the last phrase, that when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, one view changes the word from, which is fully legitimate in Hebrew, and makes it the word because. Watch this, folks. Read it like this. He will not depart because of it. The it will be old age. The point of this is, if you train a child the way God wants him to go, when he gets old, he's not going to depart just because he's old. All the training that he's had will protect him even in old age. That's one view. Some say that it will affect the child's decisions later in life. When it says, when he's old, he'll not depart from it, meaning the training will guide him all through his life, even as he gets older. His decisions will be based upon the training that he has received, the guidance in the way of the Lord. Some say it will affect the child's dedication later in life. Since the text begins, train a child, he'll not depart from it. The point is, the training that he or she received in the way of the Lord, he will never depart from that initial dedication and commitment to do what God wants him to do. But wait a minute, let's be honest. Have you not seen people stray and backslide? Have you not seen people raised in good Christian homes that have walked with the Lord and all of a sudden went the way of the flesh and the way of the world? Have you not seen that? I've seen it over and over again. Maybe it's happened to many of you. That brings me to comment on three views on the possible departure from the way of the Lord. Because it even anticipates the possibility when it says, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I assume it primarily means from the way of the Lord. It means that this is going to sustain him through life because he's been trained right. Three possible views. One, I would call the no guarantee view. I hear lots of Christians who believe this. And primarily it exists among those who've seen their kids go astray. The no guarantee view says this. The most you can do is hope. Hope, pray, try to do your best. Every child has its own sinful nature, which is true, and a child's rebellious nature can overcome all of your training, which is also true. So it's called the no guarantee view. All God's saying is, well, maybe this could happen. Maybe when he's old, he'll not depart from, provided that you're one of the select few who've been spared all the trials of life. That's the no guarantee view. There's also what I call the limited guarantee view, which says, well, the child may backslide for a while, but the promise is that when he finally gets real old, he's a senior citizen, then he'll come back. So this argument is, he sowed wild oats for a long time, he was raised in a good environment, but got all messed up, but he really gets old and crusty and can't do anything anymore and lands in the rest home, then he will come back to the Lord. That's a limited guarantee view. They'll come back before he or she dies. The third view is what we call the absolute guarantee view. That whatever the Lord meant, he meant. And it applies to everybody. This is a hard one to take. The absolute guarantee view means that the proper training in the way of the Lord will ensure that a child will never depart from that training in later life. Does it mean he will never depart? No. But it means that not one single backslidden moment is outside of the protection and the loving care of God, who honors the parents who have trained him in the way of the Lord, so that even when he gets older, he will not depart from that commitment that he has to the Lord. I like the absolute guarantee view. How about you? I want to believe that as a parent. And I know that children can rebel, and I know there are times when they stray away from the Lord. But my Bible guarantees that if a child is trained in the way of the Lord, not your expectations, not what you've got planned for him, but really what God wants him to do, no matter how it's received by the child, you've tried your best to communicate what God says. And God guarantees that that training in the life of that child will remain in the heart of that child even when they are old. and they will not depart from it. You see, the departure is the sense of somebody who's not saved, is the unbeliever. And though there are a lot of things not dealt with in the text, there's one thing for sure. God is guaranteeing that if a parent trains a child in the way of the Lord, even when he's old, he'll never depart from that training. God will bring it to his attention over and over and over again. I listened to the testimony of a man who was in his 50s who just came back to the Lord. For 30 years he'd wandered away from his home and the teaching of his parents. He never had a derogatory word to say about them. He said, "They taught me the way of God. We read the Bible in our home. They prayed for me," and he rebelled. He said, "All during those 30 years, not one time could I ever escape that training. It was like the Holy Spirit of God drove me crazy all during that time." And through a set of circumstances that God brought into his life in his 50s, he repented and got right with the Lord. And that throbbing reminder of what his parents had taught him was with him all during that period. And God used circumstances in his life to bring that to fruition, and he knew it was right. And what a day of rejoicing it was, for his parents were in their 70s, late 70s, and when they heard the news that he had really gotten right with the Lord, what a blessing it was to them. All those years wondering if Proverbs 22:6 is still true. Oh yes, it's true, all right. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of grief in our hearts when we think about this verse and relate it to what happens in our lives and in the lives of our children. I don't know how many parents here, Lord, have dedicated themselves and their children to the Lord, but I pray that many will do it right now. Just to say to you, Lord, I dedicate myself to train my children in the way you want them to go. I dedicate my children to you, Lord, to be used by you, to glorify you, to serve you, not to simply fulfill my wishes and expectations, but to do, Lord, what you want them to do. Oh God, I pray that many of us will do that right now. As I interrupt my prayer, I wonder how many parents would say, "I need to do this. I need to dedicate myself and my children to the Lord." Right where you are, just lift up your hand. Just lift it up. Say, "I need to do this." Praise the Lord. All over the house. Just put it right back down. Now, right where you are, you don't need to go anywhere or do anything. Right where you are, would you pray with me right now? Just a simple prayer. If you need more time, God bless you. You know, God will give you that special moment, but you could do it right now. Don't let the moment pass. Just pray this prayer. Oh Lord God, I dedicate myself to you, first of all, to be your servant, to teach my children in the way of the Lord. I've done a lot of things and said a lot of things that weren't accomplishing that, Lord, and I dedicate my life to that purpose right now. And Lord, I dedicate my children to you. They're yours, Lord. Use them for your glory, that they may serve you all the days of their life. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.